This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Monday, February 25th, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, Amy Guida has this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News, and we'll have a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana that has some more snow coming in tonight and tomorrow. But first, we'll have a look at today's news. Northern Illinois University hosted a memorial service last night for the students who were victims of a classroom shooting 12 days ago. From DeKalb, Tony Arnold reports.
NIU officials say close to 12,000 people attended the memorial service, filling the university's convocation center. There were numerous emotional moments during the hour-long service as speakers emphasized the phrase, "Forward, together, forward." That phrase has popped up on signs all around DeKalb and was echoed throughout the evening. NIU's president John Peters says it's important for what he calls the NIU family to draw closer together.
We will not allow ourselves to be defined by this tragedy, forever changed, yes, but not shackled to fear.
Peters also quoted the well-known line of poetry, "No man is an island," and says NIU is part of a larger community that's connected to the world. Also attending the service were Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich and U.S. Senators Dick Durbin and Barack Obama. Obama did not speak publicly at the service. Instead, Durbin spoke on behalf of the delegation. He told the audience it's important to remember the dreams of the five students who died.
As we move forward together, let's make room in our hearts for their dreams. Give a small part of our lives so that each of them can live on in us.
Meantime, freshman sociology major Terrence Hobson says he attended the service to pay his respects to the victims.
This experience that's happened has taught me a valuable lesson in life, I guess. Don't take life for granted and stuff, so we got to keep on moving forward.
Hobson says he's already looking ahead to when classes resume this morning. Reporting from DeKalb, I'm Tony Arnold.
A week after Kosovo declared independence, Chicago-area Serbs flooded Federal Plaza in downtown Chicago yesterday to protest the secession and the U.S. recognition of the new nation. In a blend of Serbian and English, priests, lawyers, and community leaders blasted the independence declaration as a breach of international law. Many of the demonstrators maintain that Kosovo always was Serbian, Kosovo still is Serbian, and Kosovo always will be Serbian. Ethnic Albanians account for 9 of every 10 Kosovo residents, and leaders there have long hoped for an independent state. When an election's around the corner, legislators typically steer clear of raising taxes on voters. Lawmakers are even less likely to go along with tax increases when the economy's faltering. Even so, some lawmakers insist Illinois is ripe for an increase in the state income tax. Amanda Vinicky has this story.
No matter elections or a possible recession, Senator James Meek says he believes the tax increase will fly at the state capitol.
Sure I do, because there are too many problems in the state. We need property tax relief. We need money for education. We need to get in front of this pension problem. And if we continue to allow these problems to exist, we're getting further and further and further in the hole.
The Chicago Democrats' proposal would raise the tax rate on a person's net income from 3% to 5%. It would also give a tax credit to low-income families and offer some property tax relief. The House Speaker said he'd favor a tax increase, as does Senate President Emil Jones, though he expressed pessimism about its chances.
We could adequately put more money in education, we could do property tax release, we could do a capital bill with that income tax increase. But are the members willing to vote for it?
I'm Amanda Vinicky.
The last time Indiana drew national attention in a presidential primary was 1968. Robert Kennedy and Eugene McCarthy sought to win the Democratic nomination that year. Kennedy spent more than 10 days crisscrossing Indiana in the month leading up to the primary. McCarthy also spent several days in Indiana and brought in actor Paul Newman for campaign appearances. The best-known moment from that campaign was a speech Kennedy made in a mostly black neighborhood in Indianapolis, during which he told the crowd about the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. The speech was credited with helping diffuse tensions so that Indianapolis avoided the riots that happened in numerous cities after King's death. Kennedy won the primary with 42% of the vote. Unlike other states, Indiana refused to move its primary this year. Voters will head to the polls on May 6th. A small single-engine plane made an emergency landing on Interstate 70, about 70 miles east of Indianapolis. The pilot was able to get his plane restarted with the help of a mechanic and took off again from the highway about 2 hours after the landing yesterday afternoon. Pilot Babar Solman says he lost power at about 7,000 feet shortly after leaving Eagle Creek Air Park and decided to land on the interstate after consulting with air traffic controllers. The landing brought traffic to a standstill, but Hancock County Sheriff's deputies say no injuries or damage were reported. The Illinois Supreme Court is setting the bar higher for lawsuits involving contact sports injuries. Sean Crawford has more.
The justices unanimously agreed there's inherent risk when someone steps on a playing field. In writing the court's opinion, Justice Ann Burke says that's why lawsuits concerning injuries should meet a strict standard. She says that must go beyond rule violations or a dirty play meant to injure someone and involve an action far from ordinary. The case involves a hockey injury in Chicago's western suburbs. A high schooler was seriously hurt when checked by two players from behind. The suit alleges members of the other team purposely used their sticks during the hit, resulting in the player's head being driven into a wall and breaking his neck. The player still suffers lingering effects. The suit also points out checking from behind was prohibited in that league. The high court refused to say if the play met the new legal threshold that would allow the suit to continue. Instead, it ordered the case to be refiled before a circuit court, allowing a judge at that level to decide. I'm Sean Crawford.
On the heels of the state's new smoking ban, a small group is launching a campaign to ban secondhand smoke from wood-burning stoves and fireplaces. Kenneth Dubinsky is the leader of Breathe Healthy Air, which supports the cause. He also wants the state to offer incentives for homeowners to convert wood-burning fireplaces to natural gas. So far, no lawmakers have signed up to support the cause. Dubinsky hasn't had much luck in his own backyard either, when he failed to convince Elk Grove Village officials to reinstate a ban on outdoor fireplaces. A spokeswoman for the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency says the state has no immediate plans to recommend a wood-burning ban. Federal data shows residential wood-burning is to blame for up to a third of particulate pollution. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bostrick. An officer who was part of Senator Clinton's motorcade in Dallas died on Friday after an accident involving his motorcycle. Senator Clinton expressed her condolences and praised those in law enforcement who face dangers daily. She would certainly count her Secret Service detail in that group. Commentator Amy Guida explains a bit about Secret Service protection for candidates in this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News.
If you'd stayed tuned after the debate between Senator Clinton and Senator Obama last week, you would have heard a CNN reporter say that just before the debate, the two candidates discussed their Secret Service entourages and joked about who had been assigned the tallest agents. Senator McCain couldn't get into that discussion. Not only was this a Democratic debate, at last report, he isn't protected by the Secret Service. He told the Washington Post last November that he found that such protection offers a false sense of security and is just plain inconvenient. And the law supports his suggestions, to a point. Sure, a federal statute authorizes the United States Secret Service to protect the president, the vice president, their families, and former presidents and their spouses. It also authorizes protection for major presidential and vice presidential candidates, those persons whom a committee decides are worthy of major candidate status. That same law also gives certain persons, including major candidates for president like McCain, the ability to decline such protection. The statute puts it simply, the protection authorized by this section may be declined. But if earlier reports are correct that McCain has said that he plans to reject Secret Service protection should he become president, the same law wouldn't be his understanding. The statute currently reads that the president and the vice president are the only two who cannot say no to the people with the earpieces. It comes with the job. As for inconvenience, you'd have to ask Senators Clinton and Obama to get the best sense of what it's like to live with Secret Service protection as a candidate, and whether there's support for the notion that the whole thing would be inconvenient. But there, too, you can get a sense of what Secret Service protection provides just by looking at the federal law, here federal regulations. And even though there's no real detail, because real detail would likely reveal far too much, you can sort of see the point about inconvenience. Take rules governing access, which covers who is allowed to ingress or egress from areas where those who are protected by the Secret Service have homes or offices or are simply visiting. Only invitees, family and staff members, military personnel, law enforcement personnel, and those who have rights to the property aside from the candidate can come and go as they please, which means an awful lot of ID checking. It puts in perspective the decision reportedly made the day before last Thursday's debate to stop screening for weapons an hour or so before an Obama rally in Dallas. Senator Obama, it seems, has the power to decide to alter security until he reaches his goal of becoming commander-in-chief, at least. And for a guy who didn't really want a security detail in the first place, he may be finding it all a bit inconvenient at this point in the campaign, tall agents or not. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. Cloudy skies today, a chance of rain in the afternoon, the high in the upper 30s. Tonight, rain expected, then rain or snow after midnight, snow accumulation around an inch, lows in the upper 20s. Rain tonight, then rain or snow after midnight, snow accumulation around an inch likely, the low around 28 degrees, windy with winds up to 35 miles per hour after midnight. Snow tomorrow morning, then likely in the afternoon, blowing snow possible, accumulation of 1 to 3 inches possible. Total accumulation expected 2 to 4 inches, near study temperatures in the upper 20s. And we'll have northwest winds 25 to 30 miles per hour with gusts around 40. Mostly cloudy tomorrow evening, a chance of flurries in the evening, lows around 15. Partly sunny skies Wednesday, the high around 28 degrees. Partly cloudy Wednesday evening, a low around 14. Thursday and Thursday evening, mostly cloudy skies, a chance of snow with a high around 32 degrees, the low around 28. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, February 25th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wyll.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.